Sound of Hockey episode 154. We're calling this one the Darnell Nurse episode. Why are we calling it that, John?
Well, Darnell Nurse signed a big 8-year contract extension, so it kicks in next season.
But he also had $154 million.
Not quite. Oh. He had 154 shots on goal last season. There you go. Now, I think everybody knows this, but maybe not everybody really knows this. But his family pedigree is pretty significant. So his sister is Kia Nurse. She's an elite WNBA basketball player for the Phoenix Mercury. She's elite. Two national championships for the Connecticut Huskies. Her cousin, Sarah Nurse, recently won the gold medal in the Women's Worlds. She's also went to Wisconsin. His uncle is Donovan McNabb, Philadelphia Eagles NFL quarterback. So quite the family there. And his dad actually played for the CFL. So he's elite.
Elite. Well, he's part of an elite family. I don't know if I'd call him.
He's getting paid elite money.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, he is. He is relatively.
Elite dollars. Yep.
He's a good player.
This is Sound of Hockey. I'm Darren Brown, at Darren Fun Brown on the Twitter. Joined as always by Andy Ide. Hello, Andy.
How's it going? I'm at Andy Ide on the Twitter.
And John Barr. Hello, John.
Hello, everybody. I'm NHL2 Seattle on the Twitter.
And we are coming to you from Seattle. We are happy to share that we have a couple of 5-star reviews with you. The first one.
Oh, wow.
Yep. The first one comes from McVeigh206. It says, love the pod, but get my family friend's name right. Okay. This is on me. I'll wear this one. It says, I grew up in Alaska and played hockey with the Bethard boys. Their name is Bethard, not Bethard. Hearing you say her name wrong 2 pods in a row is sad. So again, that's on me. Sad. Now, I want to point out, though, that her name is definitely spelled Bethard. So that's a little confusing. And McVeigh206 definitely wrote in here Bethard. So I'm not really sure who to believe here. But I definitely, you know, when I spoke to her, I never did have her say her name out loud, which I should have done. But anyway, rest of the review says, okay, now to my review. I appreciate that you understand it's not the goalie's fault for all those goals. Definitely the defense. And that's So.
It started off making fun of your mispronunciation, and then it came around to your side, Darren.
That's right. That's right. This other one says 24-32 is the name of the reviewer, 5 stars.
Oh.
It says, some people say I'm a procrastinator. Really, though, it usually takes me 200 episodes or so of listening to a podcast before I feel ready to judge its quality. But after listening to only 153 episodes of Sound of Hockey, I can confidently say that it's my favorite hockey podcast and one of the absolute best special interests podcast, period. Wow. John, Andy, and Darren are masters at keeping things light and fun while bringing serious hockey knowledge to every episode, from interviews with players, coaches, scouts, and equipment managers to weekly segments and bits, parentheses, seg bits. Feel free to use that.
Interesting.
The hosts uncover the most interesting nuggets of news and insight, and they cover the whole hockey world, not just the NHL, embodying the idea that hockey is for everyone. You'll get plenty of Seattle Kraken coverage, of course, but you'll also get news from all leagues and levels of hockey. Most of the time, I mean, at a minimum, you'll definitely get Minnesota Wild news. Kidding aside, this is a great podcast, one that goes to the top of my listening queue every week. If you're a hockey fan of any sort, you won't regret subscribing to Sound of Hockey. Wow.
That's nice. Cool. I do want to add my voice to the many that say he or she was procrastinating, because come on.
No. Well,
200 is an arbitrary number. Like, why do you got to wait that long?
No, well, I'm just worried we're going to screw it up the next 46 episodes and he's going to really
change their mind.
Yeah, he's going to be disappointed that he jumped a gun on his eval.
Yeah.
Now I feel pressure.
I know. We just have to bring it here these next 46
I was
weeks.
But
yeah. That's all there is to it. We kick the show off, as we often do, with some Seattle Kraken news from the past week. So I guess, would you call it the biggest news of the week that they made one last, we assume it's one last signing, of Ryan Donato, who is joining the Kraken. Is that big news? What do you guys think?
It's the biggest player news of the week.
Well, I mean, and I saw him play in San Jose, and San Jose let him go to UFA. He was an RFA at the time. So the price is right, basically league minimum.
Yep.
It's a little, I don't pretend to know all the ins and outs of the roster and building a roster from scratch, but it's a little surprising because it feels like their bottom six is pretty big to begin with.
They have six full lines of players now. I don't know if you guys realize that, but they have six full lines of forwards and six full lines of defense. So obviously some of those have to go to Charlotte. But as far as like what's on the roster right now, they have that many players under contract. And also, I mean, Donato, like you said, he is at the league minimum, 750K, or, well, I think that's league minimum, but it's also a one-way deal. So assuming they don't end up putting him on waivers or something like that at the end of training camp, he will have to get paid his full salary if he clears waivers and goes to the AHL. So one would assume that he is actually, in fact, going to stick with the NHL club, but we'll see what happens there. I think it's interesting. It's an interesting signing this late in the game, and it does kind of create a little bit more of a logjam in the bottom six, which is it's interesting. We'll see how it goes.
It is a bit of a head scratcher. He's been very inconsistent over the years, and he's had some flashes where he looks good and then disappears. And they do have so many forwards. I think their top six is pretty set. Maybe you can mix and match those guys.
Set ish. Yeah.
But then it's just a ton of players, and so. You know, when we get into like next week, probably when we start talking more about what to look for during training camp, I think that's a big part of it, like settling out who that actual bottom six, and then they'll probably carry a few extra guys, who that's going to be, who's going to Charlotte, who's actually going to stay up here.
Well, mm-hmm. and theoretically, it's very low risk, right? So even, let's say Morgan Geeky or Cole Lind have like a great camp and they're like, okay, these are our guys or whatever. Yeah. They can send Donato to the AHL, and if somebody wants to pick him up, that's fine, right? Yeah. And he gets a league minimum, and good for him because he's probably playing in the NHL.
Right.
Yeah. So now that I think about it, it's probably just a super low risk and not a big deal. But I do think he's had flashes of brilliance, and I mean, not brilliance, but like productivity. He is an NHL player as far as I'm concerned. So
flashes of goodness.
I watched him also in Minnesota, John, and it's funny that we're, the Kraken are getting a guy that both of us have watched somewhat closely. And you're right. There are those flashes where it looks like, oh, this guy is the real deal. He's scoring goals in bunches. And then something happens with him, though, that I noticed at least during his time in Minnesota. He started off really hot, and then all of a sudden, it just like over time, his minutes just dwindle, and there's not really much of an explanation for why. It's just the coaches seem to just give him less and less time, less and less opportunity to score goals, and that's kind of what happens. So hopefully this is the year that he has that hot stretch right off the bat, and then finds a role, you know, either on the third line or second line or something like that, where he actually is getting a good opportunity. He has a really good shot, so he could bring some value to the power play as well, but we'll see how that slots in. You're right. It is interesting signing in the sense that where is he going to play, right? There's a lot of guys that seem like they're kind of in that same echelon of players right now, and it just is creating a lot of traffic there between the third and fourth lines. So we shall see. The other biggest news, and this is a real whopper here, helmet stickers. Helmet stickers have been revealed. The Amazon Smile logo will be on the dark helmet for home, and the Climate Pledge, whereas it just say the Climate Pledge, is that right? Yeah, on the white helmets for the road. So obviously this was something to write home about. Thought we should have at least 20 minutes of discussion about this. Yeah. So that's what we've set aside.
I do have an early review, though, on the Climate Pledge on the white.
Okay.
John and I saw those in person at the Community Iceplex opening when the team was practicing, and I didn't even notice it until near the end of the practice. So we were standing right by the rink.
You know when I noticed it is when I was looking at photos after that.
Yeah. Yeah, it might have been the same for me. Didn't even catch my eye until really late in the process. So
I'm like, oh yeah, there's helmet stickers. Got it.
That's probably what their sticker is going to be for the season. So that's what I thought. Big deal.
And speaking of the Community Iceplex opening, opened this week. You guys,
good segue.
I was out of town, so I sadly missed the event, but it looked like a pretty cool one. You actually got to see some NHL players on the ice, did you not?
Yeah, I crack up because John and I think we're very much the same. We got there about the same time, and we immediately went to the rink as soon as we could. Everybody else was, you know, hobnobbing
looking
in the
around,
lobby.
Yeah, John looking and I, around at the facilities.
Yeah. John and I, first chance we got to go to the rink, we stood there until they were finished.
I mean, that's pretty cool.
It was awesome, man. It was really cool.
To see that up close and in person, and, you know, after such a long ride, I'm sure sure that was a big moment for you, John, to see some of the players out there actually playing hockey. So pretty cool stuff.
If you guys look at the Kraken video they put out about that event, John is front and center in the video.
John. Like a tenth of a second or something.
Front and center.
Front and center for a tenth of a second. Yeah. Well, I mean, one thing, it's just another reminder how amazing this ownership group is. And I don't like to drink the Kool-Aid, if you will, but to put like such an investment into facility and community and have three sheets in the Seattle area and just going big. And it's like this gathering place, if you will. And it was just so cool to see all that come together, you know, and we've been hearing about it when Tibbett was here, right? Mm-hmm. He was talking about it and
he had some input on the design, didn't he?
Those meetings. Yeah. I'm sure it all changed once Ron Francis got hired. A couple other things. It cost $80 million to make. And I think that's just it's not quite, you know, $900 million for a climate pledge, but, you know, whatever. The bar, I know I got a lot of questions about when the bar is going to open. And it sounds like they're targeting November 1st. And then the main sheet where the Kraken will practice can seat 1,000 fans. So that's kind of cool, too. So if you haven't had a chance to go up there, go check it out. It is pretty sweet. And there's something going on kind of at all times. They're still kind of ramping up. They're still not quite done. Well, they're not done with a lot of things. Mm-hmm. First and most importantly, the bar. But and the third sheet's going to be used as they have the ice down, but they're using it as like a mega store selling the jerseys for the first week. So eventually three sheets will be fully operational and it'll be pretty sweet. And I will have gone there 5 of the first 6 days it's open, which is not really normal, but that's what I'm doing. So
we did get to skate on the, not the main sheet last night, but the second sheet. And I got to say, it's a nice arena, right? But it is definitely, it's the nicest rink anywhere in the area. Just the ice is so fast and, you know, there aren't big puddles after resurfacing. The lighting is nice and bright and it's great. I'm a little tripped up by the clear benches. I don't know about you, John. There's like clear plexiglass on the benches as opposed to like an opaque board.
You know what that's for though, right?
Sled hockey.
Oh, is that what it's for?
Yeah.
Okay. That's good to know. Totally understand why they did that now, but it does trip me up because I always thought that the door was open. Like every time I'd like, when I was
like,
on the ice,
somebody's gonna die.
Yeah, I was like, oh my God, close the door. I was like, oh, it's closed. It's just clear. So,
so it's a great lighting there. And that must've meant you played well and stopped everything you saw.
I wouldn't say I stopped everything I saw, but I thought I played pretty well last night.
I played well.
Good. Made some saves.
Well. It's all the light.
It was a high level skate. So goals were scored, put it that way. But Darren played well, really well.
Thank you. So anyway, KCI, the Kraken Community Iceplex, it is open. It is a cool place. Check it out sometime soon. Maybe wait for don't wait. Get over there and see it. But, you know, it's just understand that there's still some finishing touches that need to be put on it. But those are coming soon. Yep. Also, for you complainers about the Root Sports situation, of which there were many when that was announced, that there was
there complainers?
Yeah, no streaming option. Well, that's been put to rest because they have made a deal with Hoomst, John.
Fubo TV. Uh-huh. So, yeah, sure. Streaming option. I'm sure there'll be more complainers because you can't just get Root Sports. You still have to get like a package with Fubo TV. What package that is, how much it costs is not disclosed yet. So we don't even know how much you'll be paying, but essentially you're paying for a multi-channel subscription.
Yeah.
But now you can get it without cable.
So, right. But so to give some context here, like I use Hulu TV. I don't have cable, mm-hmm. but I use Hulu TV. And I think, I don't know, I think we pay like $80 a month, something like that, to get the live channels and all the, you know, all the additional content. Yeah. So I have no problem dumping Hulu because I don't even like it that much and just replacing it with Fubo because they have a lot of like the similar stuff, right? So for me, it's a big thing. I'm like, okay, this is great. At least I don't have to sign up for an actual cable package that I don't really want because I don't want a cable package. I was prepared to get a cable package to be able to watch the Kraken games, but I didn't want that.
So
right?
Why don't you want one?
Well, for one thing, I think a cable package is, what is it, like $150-$200 a month? Isn't it a lot more expensive than the streaming?
No.
Well, then I'm wrong, but that's my assumption of it. And also, I just, you know, we use all kinds of different digital things, right? We have Netflix, we have Amazon Prime, we have, you know, so the live Hulu was really just to be able to like watch live TV when I feel the need to. But I don't know. I don't have a desire to get cable anymore. I would have, again, if that was my only option to watch the Kraken, I would have. But knowing that there is an option now where I can get a different streaming package and watch that instead makes me happy. So I was pleased to see this news.
That's fair enough. That's fair enough. But to me, it's a little bit of semantics, right? That whether you're paying Comcast $80 a month or Fubo TV $80 a month, it's the same. Now, I will say it is a little easier to like install and turn it off, and the ease of use and like throttle it down. Like you just go to a website instead of like, I have this box. What do I need to do?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think there's obviously benefits, and ideally they have like slimmer bundles where you're not paying for all these channels. So not to get too into the pay TV business, but I would love to see it on more streaming services. Root Sports has been having discussions with the other streaming providers like Hulu and YouTube. So we'll see if that comes to fruition. This is an option, and it's good to have options. So I'll give you that.
Thank you.
I looked at some of the pricing, and it's pretty comparable to Hulu, and you get a lot of the same stuff. So there's no reason you would want both. And just to note, when I had cable a couple of years ago, I was paying well over $100. So I don't know if I was paying for extra things, but.
Well, I mean, I think you got to call and give the song and dance and say, oh, I'm going to leave. And they'll be like, oh, what can we do to keep you here? Blah, 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 which that crap gets old. I'll give them that. So, yeah.
Yeah. You know what I was thinking of earlier when I said my like $150-$200, I think that's because we used to bundle everything together, internet and cable and all that
fax
stuff.
Machine.
So, yeah, our fax machine. Exactly. Our carrier pigeon.
Your beepers.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Our car phones were included in that. So nice. Anyway, hey, final piece of Kraken news before we move on. The training camp is opening next Thursday. So that's pretty awesome. It will, of course, be held at the Kraken Community Iceplex. And if you are a member of the Depths, not the Deep, the Depths, then you can actually attend. So go on the website and figure out how to get tickets for that, I guess. You know what I was thinking too, before we do actually move on, John, we walked around the facility last night. You kind of pointed out, hey, here's the players parking lot, which is behind kind of a locked gate. There's the gym right there. Hey, there's their locker room behind the big Seattle Kraken logo. And I was just thinking about like, man, what a freaking baller setup for those guys, right? They roll in to this nice gated parking lot. They just cruise right into their stall in the dressing room. They don't have to touch their equipment bag. Like, it's just, what a baller setup. And that was just really cool to see.
It's a recruiting tool, to be honest. Like, think of all the free agents that have to go through there to practice this year, right? Before a game. So,
good stuff.
Cool. Tell your friends.
Also, no state income tax. So, come on over.
Yeah.
We now move on to a WHL update with our WHL correspondent, Andy Ide. Hello, Andy.
Hi. We have a couple updates. Mm-hmm. First of all, Spokane Chiefs. You guys heard of Tyler Johnson, right?
Yeah, heard of him. The man from Spokane.
I think we've mentioned him a time or two.
Yeah. The Spokane Chiefs announced today on whatever day it is, Tuesday, that they were going to be retiring his number 9. It's going to be hanging from the rafters. It's only the second player that they have retired a number for, joining Ray Whitney.
Wow.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And it's happening, I think they're doing it in February, I think during the Olympic break. He's planning on being there for the ceremony.
Oh, awesome. That's awesome.
There's been some interesting rule changes coming to the WHL. The most interesting, some of them are similar to the NHL, like the offside playing, you know, like if your skate's in the air but onside, that'll count as onside. Mm-hmm. There's an interesting one where you can't unstrap your helmet in a fight or try to take off your opponent's helmet in the fight. It used to be allowed. I think that's to try and curb some fighting there.
Sure.
But the fun one, the one my favorite one, is that we all know how much I love offside challenges, and that's now coming to the WHL. Coaches will now be allowed to challenge an offside. Similar to the NHL, but not quite, because if you've watched any CHL TV feeds, video feeds, not always conducive to reviewing. It might be hard to tell where the player and what the puck is, but there's going to be an inconclusive decision that can come out of the video review. And if that's the case, the challenging coach will not be charged a penalty. So,
Oh geez, that sounds amazing.
Yeah, if I'm being clear here, were you being facetious when you said you like offside challenges?
A little bit, yeah. I hate the offside challenge rule.
Okay.
I just don't look forward to being at a WHL game and seeing that.
But you look forward to being at a WHL game.
Yeah, as many as I can get to.
Right. But you don't necessarily look forward to being in a WHL game and also seeing an offside challenge. Is that what you're saying?
Maybe for the chaos at first. Uh-huh. But then after that, it'll become
Those feeds are just such a joke.
Some are good, right? Some are good, some are not.
Yeah. Even the NHL ones are tough sometimes. So yeah. I don't know.
So, but okay. Some of those NHL ones have a camera like embedded in the boards, like right down the blue line. We're not going to get that in the WHL.
No, I don't think so.
Speaking of chaos, we have a Let's Get Quizzical. John, I believe chaos. You had put this together. Am I correct?
You are correct.
Okay.
Who else would do such a thing?
I mean, so. I've done a few of them over the years.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Fair enough. So there was a lot of player shifting in the offseason, and being that camp starts next week.
I noticed you switched to switch your voice a little bit when you're about to do a quizzical. It gets a little more
excited.
Like you're really like you're excited. Up to no good. Yeah. You sound like you're up to no good. You have something really dastardly planned.
He really
for
is
us.
Gonna try and trick us and make us look dumb is what he's trying to do.
Yeah.
Well, I was a little worried that this is a tough one, right? Because it's like we all know about some of these players changing places. But it's like, oh, crap, what was that again? Like, it's just not front of mind right now. So I didn't want to give you a heads up either because I didn't want you to study. So let's get quizzical. If you haven't figured it out by now, I'm going to name a player, and you need to name their new team.
I'm so bad at these.
Okay.
I don't know. I think you'll get some of them. But it's also a good reminder that these players are changing teams.
A lot.
So it's also an educational piece. It's almost like a more you know as well as a Let's Get Quizzical. Okay,
we're
so
learn.
Who wants to go first?
Me.
Darren.
Okay, Darren.
Yeah.
Name Dougie Hamilton's new team.
I know that one.
The New Jersey Devils.
Bingo.
I should have gone first.
That's one.
Andy? Zach Hyman.
Zach Hyman, Edmonton Oilers, right?
That's right. No? That's right. See? How hard almost can these be?
Almost said Winnipeg. It was on my tongue to say Winnipeg.
Okay, Darren. Victor Arvidsson.
Oh.
I'm going to go with
what does
Los
say?
Angeles Kings.
That's correct.
Oh!
That's correct.
Oh, man. That one came to me at the absolute last second there. Because that one happened a long, long time ago. Okay, carry on.
Yeah, it did.
I would have missed that one, so I'm glad.
It was a pre-expansion draft, so.
Two for me.
Yeah. Andy.
Yeah.
Sam Reinhart,
I want to say, is a Florida Panther.
That's correct.
Ooh, good
man,
one,
you guys
Andy.
Are on fire.
I'm impressed with Andy's correct answers here. Okay.
All right. Darren, Blake Coleman.
Oh, I know that one too.
Blake Coleman, the New York Rangers.
That's incorrect.
Oh,
can I steal a point?
Of? No. No.
I can't steal a point.
You
it's
can brag.
Calgary Flames. Calgary Flames.
That's right. Okay.
All right. So 2-2 still, but Andy's two. Got the leg up.
But I have a tiebreaker.
Andy's
breaker.
In the bottom of the inning. So, okay.
Wrong sport,
Andy.
But okay. Yes.
Linus Ullmark.
Boston Bruins.
That's correct.
Ooh,
jeez.
Wow.
Ooh, this one's going to get tough.
Okay.
I think. Darren.
Mm-hmm.
Jake Bean.
He got traded, right? Right after. To the Columbus Blue Jackets?
That's correct.
Ooh!
All right, nice. We're 3-for-3, but Andy's got another at bat here.
I'm 3-for-4. Yeah. Oh, it's 3-to-3 is
three
what you're
to
saying.
Three.
Sorry,
yeah,
okay.
I apologize.
No, that's all right.
Andrew.
Yes.
Warren Fogle.
Fogle. Where are you, Fogle?
Warren.
Did he stay in Florida?
No, he did not.
Oh,
they're all new traded. Teams, right? He was traded to the Edmonton Oilers for Mr. Right. Ethan Bear. Oh,
that's right.
Wow. Okay, so now do we do a sudden death?
I've got two more. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Sure.
No.
Sure. So it's what is it? 3-to-3?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wait, is it sudden death or are we just playing out these last two?
We're going to play these out
okay,
and then
got
we'll
it, got
we'll
it.
Go from there.
All right.
You don't start sudden death in the eighth inning.
That's fair.
Sometimes. Depends. Yeah.
Rain delays and such.
Ryan Reeves.
That one's New York Rangers. That one I know.
That's right.
Okay.
I don't like that Derek gets all the ones I know. Yes.
Andy?
Yes.
Jacob Voracek.
I know that one.
I believe. Oh, man. No, that's Van Riemsdyk. I'm confusing the two. Did he go to the Dallas Stars?
I think that's Buffalo Sabres, right?
No, he did not go to the Buffalo Sabres.
He got traded.
Went to Columbus.
Oh, that's
Columbus
right. One for one for Cam Atkinson.
That's what I was going to say, but some reason I talked myself out of it. Where did Van Riemsdyk go?
He was not traded.
Oh, see.
Back to Philadelphia.
Yeah.
I knew
yeah.
one of them went to Columbus, but I had the wrong
not
guy.
Seattle. That's where James
yeah. right. Good so, point.
Darren, you are the big wiener.
I thought you had two more.
Two more collectively.
Oh, okay. No. So I'm the winner. All right, I accept. I accept victory. I won't argue. That's great.
You won't argue with you winning?
Yeah, no, congratulations to me. That was a great first segment. But now we move on to
an even
better segment. Everyone's favorite segment.
This one's going to be long.
Goalie Gear Corner! Did you mean my announcement was going to be long, or the segment?
It was.
Oh. Everything about this is going to be long.
No, I don't think it'll be ridiculous. But as we know, Goalie Gear Corner season is upon us. And what's really cool is that for the first time, oh man, I'm having a back spasm. Ouch.
Cool.
For the first time, we have actual Kraken goalie gear. So you guys saw up close and personal Philip Grubauer's look. It's a pretty, mm-hmm. I don't want to, you know, I like it. I certainly like it. It's a clean look. There's nothing over the top, like creative about it necessarily, but it's a good clean look. He's got just the dark blue and the light blue on some white true pads. And then his mask is pretty heavily branded. You guys know how I feel about just heavily branded.
You're not big on
masks.
Just the logo. Yep.
Yeah, no. I'd like it to be a little bit more, you know, creative. So Joey Decord, however, took that and ran with it. If you take a look at his mask, his is also heavily branded, but he's got on one side of it, he's got this huge Kraken that's taking down some sort of ship, and it looks awesome. So I love this one from Joey Decord. I like that one side of it is like, yes, it's branded, but the other side is very, very cool the way that he did the Kraken. So
a lot of tentacles on that one.
Yeah, but you know what? It's not as like up close and personal as that one mask that was done a long time ago where it looked like the tentacles were like the whole focus of the mask on that one was the tentacles. That's not really what we're doing here. Like they're not quite as up close and personal. You're looking at the whole sea monster as a whole. So I have no issue with the level of tentacle on this. I really, really like this mask from Joey Decord. So well done, Joey Decord. The other one we had was from Antoine Bibeau, who we know is kind of a recent signing. He was amongst the many, many signings that the Kraken did this offseason. So he's got a Brian setup. Also just kind of a clean look.
No.
But I like it. I like this one a lot. I think it's a good look. The outer rolls are the dark blue, and then there's kind of like a liner in the light blue color. And then I love that the star, the Brian star, is the red. So good look from Antoine Bibeau.
Will those colors clash with the Charlotte Checkers colors?
Probably. And, you know, I was thinking about that too, because I saw during that practice that Joey Decord was still wearing his Ottawa Senators gear. Mm-hmm. And really, if he is going to go play for Charlotte, which it definitely seems like that's where he's going to end up, he could just continue wearing those black and red pads, and that would make a lot of sense.
Maybe Bebo's looking ahead to Palm Springs.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Could be.
Well,
he's
or
only
maybe
under a one-year contract.
Maybe they always have to have a Kraken set in case they get called up.
Sure.
You know, so maybe has that gear but doesn't play with it in Charlotte, but if he maybe practices with it or whatever, so
he cracks them out when he gets called up.
Oh yeah, maybe he could.
Oh
yep.
Boy.
Good one.
It's a play on the name Kraken.
Uh-huh. You know, like, yeah,
oh, is that what it was?
Yeah,
oh, I wasn't
those.
Sure.
I understood that.
Thanks for explaining that.
And then our last one here is not a Kraken piece of goalie gear. This one comes from Hunter Miska. Now, Hunter Miska has appeared before on the Goalie Gear Corner. You might recall that his father is a famous mask artist. We talked about that. He also had like an Eddie the Eagle type of mask, I think last year when he was with the Colorado Eagles, maybe the year before. Anyway, he has a really great Colorado Avalanche Yeti mask. I don't even know how to necessarily describe this one. It is akin to the old Manny Fernandez mask when he was with the Wild. You remember that one, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
It's got these, you know, his face is kind of in the mouth
of
the Yeti.
Who doesn't remember that one?
Yeah, and it's got these teeth coming down above the eyes and then down below, and this really mean looking face up on the top, and then it's got this like mountain silhouette on the sides. It's fantastic. I love this one from Hunter Miska. He's a chip off the old block, apparently.
My favorite part of this one, for some reason, is a little log cabin, or I guess not log the cabin, plate. A little cabin in the woods in the back. I don't know why I kind of dig that.
I like that too. I love that.
Yeah, I love that as well. Good stuff.
Hey,
from Hunter Miska.
One quick thing.
Mm-hmm.
Goalie Gear Corner. I had somebody point out that Grubauer was with CCM last year, and now he's with True.
Oh. Wow.
Big Did you news. Not know that, Darren?
I guess it does register in my head that that's the case. But, you know, well, remember what the trick is there is that Lefebvre used to be producing the gear for CCM. The contract ended. Now they're producing the gear for True. So a lot of the pros moved over to True because of Lefebvre being their Le Favorites, so they want to continue using that gear. But you can't use Le Favre gear if you're using CCM gear anymore because that, like I said, that contract ended. So,
as all right. bad as my cracking them out.
Uh-huh. That wraps up our goalie gear corner. Oh, we have a you don't see that every day. Well, you know what? You don't see every day is you don't see that every day. We haven't had one of these in quite some time because we haven't had much real hockey to watch. This one comes from the KHL, as they do tend to come from the KHL for some reason. Valentin Pianov scores a goal off the faceoff. And when we say off the faceoff, I mean off the faceoff. Like the puck drops, he's the center. He doesn't try to win it back or pass it. He just shoots it on net and it goes right in.
He's literally one-timer. One-timer on the faceoff.
It is incredible. A snipe. Like he rifles that thing.
Well, the goalie didn't even move. Like, no. He's not expecting that.
No, I would not have been expecting that shot myself. You're in position, you're there, you're ready for it, but you're never actually ready for it because even when guys try that, like if there's a second left in the period, for example, right? Sometimes guys will try to shoot right off the faceoff. They never actually pull it off. You know, like it never gets away clean. And even if it does, it doesn't ever go on net. So like you're in your ready position, but you're never actually expecting the puck to come straight towards you without somebody else touching it. So you don't see that every day. Good stuff from the KHL. We now move on to our weekly one-timers. Whoops. Our first weekly one-timer. Whoops. The NWHL has changed its name. Why did they do this? What are they changing it to? All that good stuff. John, go for it.
It's renamed to the Premier Hockey Federation. Mm-hmm. So a couple things. They took women out of the name, so it's no longer obviously women in it. And they want to spotlight these players as elite hockey players, and they are. So that's kind of cool. I think there's also an opportunity to kind of focus on going forward and not look back. And Premier also, the name Premier and Federation resonates a little bit more with the international audience, which is some feedback that they said they, you know, case studies and some user studies. And so I don't really get totally why, but, you know, I'm sure there's reasons and I'm sure they did research to do this. Yeah. It's kind of weird because I've been to NWHL games and I was pretty nostalgic with the NWHL, but, you know, change happens and that's fine.
Yeah, change does happen. I was a little surprised by it as well, especially because, you know, it seemed like they had made some good strides at making their brand a little bit more recognizable here in the last couple of years. And so they kind of thrown that down the old toilet and started over with a brand new name and all that logo, all that stuff that now people will have to get accustomed to. But nonetheless, like you said, I'm sure there's good reason for it. Obviously, it's a little bit more inclusive of an approach. And frankly, I wonder how much of this has to do with the players in the PWHPA, right? And trying to kind of lure them back. Because I think for a lot of those players, the NWHL doesn't necessarily have a great name. So anyway, it's definitely curious. I'm you know, wondering if more will come out about what went into this decision. But we shall see on that. And hopefully it does lead to some of those bigger name players coming back. Our next weekly one-timer. Whoopsh. We have a trade to announce. The Arizona Coyotes have traded to the Montreal Canadiens Christian Dvorak in exchange for a first and a second round draft pick, which I think is a pretty good haul for a Christian Dvorak. Now, this move comes almost in concert with the announcement that the Montreal Canadiens would not be matching the offer sheet for Jesperi Kotkaniemi. So thought that was interesting that they're like, all right, well, you know, I don't really want to pay $6 million for Jesperi Kotkaniemi, but we can throw some draft picks over to Arizona and they'll give us a Christian Dvorak. So
they got a first out of that, not matching them.
And a third.
Offer. Yeah, and a third, yeah. So
yeah, so they got an essentially extra draft pick flipped. And they
replaced them, yeah.
Yeah, they pretty much flipped it. Do you know how many second round picks Arizona Coyotes have next year, 2022?
Like
15? Well, second round picks.
Half the picks?
Four.
Four sounds good.
Five.
Oh,
five. This was the fifth one. They have three first round picks as well.
By Price is Right rules, I won that as well because I didn't go over. Andy went over.
Fair enough.
Right.
Yeah, but they don't have much on the ice this season. No. They're going to be horrible. They're going to be horrible.
This is like beyond this is not the typical rebuild. This is like burning everything to the ground and then starting over.
You know, and they needed to do some of this like the last 2 years and never really went all in with the rebuild. This is like almost like to the extreme. I mean, because Kemper was also traded, remember? And and they have nothing. They have nothing. Phil Kessel, and he's not going to win you games. I mean, I think he's still a really good player, but he's not going to win you games.
Not by himself.
Our next weekly one-timer. A certain captain is out for 6 weeks. Well, I guess 6 weeks. So he'll be back like pretty soon. Really, it's just enough time to kind of like rest up, I think. Sidney Crosby, it's kind of his MO, right? I feel like he always has something at the beginning of the year so he gets a little bit more rest. Am I right?
I don't know about that. I mean, he had wrist surgery. So, you know, the poor thing is he's out 6 weeks. But when Pittsburgh comes to town in Seattle, it's going to be in December. So he should be back by then. So
that is the most important thing.
Yeah, that is clearly the most important thing. And, you know, Pittsburgh only comes to town once. So,
yep. Our final weekly one-timer. TNT has announced its game and studio commentator teams. I know that we had kind of seen a lot of this, but they've officially said these are all the guys and, well, mostly guys. I was going to say all the guys and girls, but they're pretty much all guys who are going to be doing the different roles. So analysts are Wayne Gretzky, ever heard of him, Anson Carter, Rick Tockett, and Paul Bissonnette. Paul Bissonnette was a new one, a little bit surprising. Their host is
pretty cool.
And Rick Tockett spurned Seattle Kraken candidate.
That's very true.
Who obviously won't be yelling at everybody.
I know, and he'll be upset and mad. Yeah, cool.
Yeah. The host will be Liam McHugh. The play-by-play guys will be Kenny Albert and Brendan Burke. Analysts, Eddie Olchek and Darren Pang. Ice level, Keith Jones. Contributors, Jennifer Botterill, Tarek El-Basher, and Jackie Redmond. So that's a pretty cool lineup. I do like it. It's definitely, you know, it's got some flavors of NBC sports, but there's some new blood in there, which I think is
fun. Botterill is good.
I don't know if you've ever heard of that last name before, but she was doing Sportsnet during the playoffs, and she was incredible. Was great. I think she's awesome, so.
That wraps up our weekly one-timers. And we close the show with our tweets of the week. John, your tweet of the week.
My tweet of the week comes from common tweet of the weeker, Pete Blackburn.
Oh, yeah.
He's responding to a tweet from Michael, which is at the Leafs MO. It says, Mitch Marner told Sid Sexero that the Leafs are 100% vaccinated, confirming what Kyle Dubas said a few weeks ago. Peter Blackburn then retweets that and says, they all got the Johnson & Johnson because it only required one round.
Oh, wow.
Bum, 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 bum.
It's so easy to just slam the Leafs.
Oh, man. It was pretty good. I laughed out loud when I saw that.
Andy, your tweet of the week?
My tweet of the week comes from a friend of the pod, Greg Wyshynski of ESPN. He was tweeting about the MTV Video Music Awards, and he got a response from someone calling themselves Burnaby Joe. I don't think that's actually Joe Sakic, but just, you know, I don't know for sure. But Burnaby Joe says to Wyshynski, you're a grown man. Why are you watching the VMAs? Wyshynski's response, professional wrestling wasn't on.
I don't really have a tweet of the week, but Norm MacDonald passed away on Tuesday, and he was a big hockey fan and truly one of the funniest people of all time. And I watched this one clip of him on Conan O'Brien because there were a ton of videos going around.
Yep.
And he was on with somebody that had been on Melrose Place, and also she had just filmed Chairman of the Board with Carrot Top.
I know what you're talking
about. Yeah, and Norm MacDonald was sitting there because he was also on the show, and he just like shredded this woman. Like the whole idea of doing a show or a movie with Carrot Top was just mind-boggling to him, and I watched it and just laughed myself to tears. So go find that one.
His big line there was, I bet they spelled board b-o-r-e-d.
Yeah, Chairman of the Board. That's like how the show ends or how the interview ends with her. It's so funny. So go check that one out.
I love Norm. Go Google when he was on Conan and told the moth joke. It's one of the best things you'll ever see.
I saw about 50 different people tweeting out the moth joke today, so I won't spoil that one for you like we just did the Chairman of the Board joke. But anyway, RIP Norm MacDonald. Thank you all for listening. Thank you once again to 24 to 32 and McVeigh 206 for the great 5-star reviews. Sorry for getting that name wrong recently. Subscribe on Stitcher, subscribe on Spotify, subscribe on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, whatever you call it. We'll talk to you all next week for episode 155. Cheers.